the joy to be with you here in Leven again this evening, and it's good to see all who've been able to gather at the Gospel meeting, and we trust that the Lord would bless his word to each one of us tonight. Now, we've got a few scripture readings this evening, and the first one is found in the book of Romans, just for a verse, in Romans in chapter number 3. Romans chapter 3. And we'll just read one verse. It's verse 23, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. And the verse reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now we're going over to chapter number 5. And this time we'll read verse number 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, before that all have sinned." We're going back now to the Old Testament, to Numbers, and chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. Numbers 21 and verse 4. The end of the verse reads, "And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore had he brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this white bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Now we're going over to the New Testament now, to Luke chapter 15. So back to the New Testament, Luke chapter 15. And verse number 11, Luke 15 verse 11, "And the Lord Jesus is speaking. And Jesus said, 'A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now the previous chapter, Luke chapter 14, and verse number 25, Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, that's with Jesus, great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And now our final reading, and you've been very patient, and we hope that we can draw all of these together, is in the book of the Acts, and chapter number 2. Acts chapter 2. Now Peter preaches a message about the Lord Jesus Christ and about his crucifixion and his resurrection and ascension. And at verse 37, this is how the congregation respond. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, the company responds to Peter's message. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I would ask that the Lord will bless these readings from His precious word. You've maybe heard the expression that it's as easy as ABC. And I had a wee look to see where that expression came from. It's as easy as ABC. And in fact, it's the title of a novel that was written by Rudyard Kipling. I'm sure you've heard of, those of you that are into English literature, you will have heard of Rudyard Kipling. And he wrote that book, It's As Easy As ABC, in 1912. Now it's kind of topical because it's actually what they would call nowadays sci-fi. I don't know whether they would have used that expression then, but it was science fiction. And Rudyard Kipling, he wrote this science fiction book way back in 1912. And in his imagination, he looked way into the future And he actually saw things that would happen in the year 2065. So we're still not even there yet. It's 55 years to go till we get to where Rudyard Kipling was in his imagination in his novel. And I don't suggest that you perhaps get it or read it. It's all about spaceships and, you know, flying between planets. I've never read it, but just a bit about it. And that kind of thing. But the title of his book, it's as easy as ABC. And actually ABC stands for Aerial Board of Control. It was some kind of, you see, police network or whatever, a police organization that supervised all the stuff that was going on between the planets, the Aerial Board of Control. But I want to just lift that little phrase, the title of this book, it's as easy as ABC, to help us to understand the message of the gospel, because the gospel should be a simple message. Sometimes we make it kind of complicated, but for sure, when the Lord Jesus preached it, it was so simple that everyone could understand. So in my outline for tonight, this is what we're thinking about. It's as easy as ABC, and we've got a D as well, just to add to that. So A is admit, something to admit. B is believe, something to believe. C is consider or count the cost, something to consider. And D, just in case you forget, there's something to do. And that's my little outline. Thanks to Rudyard Kipling. It's as easy as ABC, something to admit, something to believe, something to consider, and something to do. Now, I don't know whether you've got the sequence of some of the scriptures that we read, but the first scriptures that we read have this little expression in them. Both the verses, Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 5, it said, for all have sinned. And we know that verse fine in Romans chapter 3. There's no difference for that. All have sinned. And Romans chapter 5 says, that is, death has come, and death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned. And then when we went back to Numbers, the people there, they came to Moses and God punished them because of their complaining and their bemoaning about God's provision in the wilderness. And they said, not all have sinned, but they said, we have sinned. We have sinned. And then we read the story of the prodigal son and the wayward son in the far off country. He doesn't say all have sinned or we have sinned. He comes to this point, I have sinned. And that's what he says. And so our first little point, you see, is something to admit. Now it's one thing to say that all have sinned. And when we look out into our world, and if you get a paper on a Monday morning, when you look at your paper, you'll form this opinion and this judgment readily and quite easily. As you think of the kind of world and society in which we live, all have sinned. We live in a world that is marked by evil and immorality and all kinds of things that we wouldn't want to go in for. And that's why the Bible comes to this conclusion, that there is no difference for that. All have sinned. And then we move on to this little expression, that we have sinned. The great thing about computers is that it used to be that the Bible scholar had to just had to look at his Bible concordance and he could just put in a single word, and he could find out where it occurred in the Bible. But the great thing about computers is you can actually put a phrase in to your computer and it will give you all the occurrences in the Bible where that phrase occurs. So I put into my computer this little phrase, we have sinned. Hit enter, and it came up with 23 times in the scriptures you have this expression, we have. And I think they're all in the Old Testament. And you see, it's to do with the history of the children of Israel. And when you think of the children of Israel, And how so often they disappointed God, and they complained, and they went and they worshipped idols, and God had given his commandments, and they constantly broke them. And again they say, we have sinned. And we can understand that. Well, I put in the little expression into my computer, I have sinned. How many times in the Bible would you find the expression, I have sinned? Well, I put it in, and it came up with 19. So 19 times in the Bible, you'll find, I have sinned. And that's something different, isn't it? To come to that point of looking at ourselves and our own hearts and our own lives and our own thoughts, and then coming to this point of saying, I have sinned. And that's where the prodigal son got to, wasn't it? He thought of how he'd broken the heart of his father, how he'd gone off into the far country, how he'd wasted his father's money, and yet he came to the end of himself, and he decided to return home, and he makes up a little speech that he's going to say when he meets his father. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And we need to get to that point, you see. The first step to blessing, and the first step to experiencing God's salvation and forgiveness, is to come to that point of saying, yes, okay, all have sinned, I agree with that. Well, you might look at our family or our nation or a bigger group of people and say, we have sinned, but we need to come personally into the presence of God and confess before him, I have sinned, as the prodigal son did here in our story. You see, it's only when we understand that there's something wrong with ourselves and with me personally that we'll come to God and seek his forgiveness and his blessing. We don't go to the doctor. Well, we normally don't go to the doctor unless you know that there's something wrong. And it's only when we've got an ache or a pain or whatever it is that we then have to go and see the doctor. It's only when we know about our sin and realize our guilt and our failure before God that we'll come to him and we'll seek his forgiveness. So the first step to blessing and the first step in the easy message of the gospel is something to admit. Now, we don't like to admit things, and it's not easy to get into the presence of God maybe and say, I have sinned, and yet that is the road to blessing. You see, sin is just, it's falling short of the standard. You know, it may just be a half an inch short. It might be a lot short. But the Bible says that there is no difference, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It means not only falling short, it means missing the mark. And it's the thought of aiming at a target. And there's God's law, there is the target that we have to aim for. And we miss it. Just like when the bowler, he puts his ball across the green. And the further it goes, the further off to the side it turns, because it's got that inward weight and bias in it that draws it off to the side. So in our heart there is that evil bias that turns us aside and makes us miss the target that God has set before us. And then it's not only falling short and it's not only missing the mark, but it is crossing the line. The Bible uses the word transgression. It means to step over, to step across. And it's just as if the line, the chalk line is there on the ground. And we stepped over it. And so we have sinned. I have sinned. Something to admit. But then, secondly, the B is the biggest ABC. The B is believe. There's something to believe. And that is the core two of the message of the gospel. The Christian gospel is a message of faith. It involves belief and trust and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder what we're looking to, where we're going, what we're leaning, what we're depending upon for our salvation. That one day we'll get into God's heaven, into his home. On what grounds and on what basis are we going to get there? It's only possible through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible calls us to that kind of, not just a casual, flippant consent or agreement, but to a deep, personal faith and commitment and dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to believe what I've said about our sin, about our need, our sinnership. Do you really believe that you're a guilty sinner? That you're unable to merit your own salvation? We need to believe that. But then more than that, we need to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's provision, that salvation is found in him, that he came from heaven, he lived that lovely life, and then he died that shameful death upon the cross, and that there, God dealt out upon his own son his punishment, his anger, and his wrath against your sin and mine. All my sin was laid upon him. Jesus bore it on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him, and believing, I am free. And we need that kind of commitment, that kind of belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. I sometimes used to tell the children about the story about a famous gymnast by the name of Blondin. He was a tightrope walker, and he used to walk his tightrope, and on one occasion he put the wire up across the Niagara Falls, and he walked across the tightrope, and then he went across with a wheelbarrow on that high wire over that waterfall. And then he turned to a little boy and he said, "Do you believe that I could take you in that wheelbarrow on that tightrope across the waterfall?" And the little boy said, "Yes, I believe you could." And he said, "Well, jump in." And the wee boy just disappeared in the crowd. He was nowhere to be seen. You see, he didn't really believe. He wasn't prepared to commit himself and to jump in to Blondin's wheelbarrow. And that's what God is requiring of us, to believe in that way, to commit ourselves unreservedly to the Lord Jesus, and to his love, and to his provision, and to the value of his death and his work upon the cross of Calvary. So there's something to admit. I have sinned. There's something to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work and his death upon the cross to provide for us salvation. And then see, something to consider. You know, it's not a small thing to decide to trust the Lord Jesus and to become a Christian. It's not something that we drift into unconsciously. Being a Christian is not something that we're born with. It's not something that we inherit. It's a deliberate choice and decision that we make. And when we make that choice, we need to consider everything that is at stake. You know, there used to be a program on the television called The Hour of Decision. And for sure, the message of the gospel calls us to the hour of decision. The need to make that decision and to choose the Lord Jesus Christ. We have many decisions to make in our lives. Some of them are small decisions. Some of them are trivial decisions. Some of them are important and great decisions, but the message of the gospel presents us with a decision that's far greater and more important than any other, because it's an eternal decision. It's a decision that will not just affect us throughout the rest of our life, but that will affect us for all eternity. And so we need to consider, we need to weigh it up. And so we read that chapter in Luke chapter, we read those verses in Luke chapter 14. And the section begins with the fact, it says, that there went great multitudes with the Lord Jesus. Great multitudes went with him. But you see, the Lord Jesus, he turned to the multitudes and he reminded them something about the cost of being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this verses he sets out very carefully the cost of discipleship. He says that if we're to follow the Lord Jesus, we have to deny ourselves, we have to take up the cross, and we have to follow him. And then he gives his examples about a man who's going to build a tower. And he says before he builds the tower, he sits down and he counts the cost. Then he starts to build the tower, and before he finishes it, he doesn't have enough money to finish it. And then he says, or supposing somebody is going to war, supposing a king is going to take on another nation at war, he says, before he even begins, he counts the cost. He thinks about it. Is he going to be successful? Is he going to achieve something here? Or is he going to be defeated? And is he going to lose? Sorry. Well, that's true. And that is the second point of our message tonight, the fact that we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So something to admit, something to believe, and then something to consider. We should think about the cost of becoming a follower of the Lord Jesus. But in addition to that, we should think about the cost of not believing. We should think of what's at stake. We should think of the awful alternative to not trusting Christ and of not experiencing God's salvation, but of being lost forever. And that's what the Bible speaks about. It speaks about being saved, and it speaks about being lost. About knowing God's salvation, and the hope, and the joy, and the prospect of heaven. But it also speaks about those who are lost forever, because they have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the city of Jerusalem, they didn't have rubbish carts like we have them. The rubbish man didn't come around on a particular day of the week to empty the rubbish. But the folks that lived in Jerusalem, they just threw their rubbish over the wall. And it went away down into the valley, right there by the brook Kidron. And the name of that valley was Gehenna. Okay, I'm nearly finished. Just let me finish. That's okay. And the rubbish that was thrown into that valley, it just burned. And it just burned, and it burned. And it was constantly fed because the people just kept pouring the rubbish over the wall, and it landed in the valley of Gehenna. And you know, that fire never went out. And that's the picture that the Bible uses for hell. It's a fire that never goes out. And it is the place for those who reject God's offer of salvation and who never come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's something to admit, I have sinned. There's something to believe, Jesus died for me. There's something to consider, the implications of trusting Christ and of not trusting him. And then the D, as I close, finally, just in case you forget, there's something to do. We can't just hear the message of the gospel and do nothing. And when Peter preached there on the day of Pentecost, and we read about it in Acts chapter 2, it says that when he preached, the people were pricked in their heart, and they said, "What shall we do?" And this is what Peter said: "Repent, and believe the gospel, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins." And we trust and we pray that those of you who are here tonight, as you think about the wonderful message of the gospel, God's provision in his Son, that you will indeed understand. It's as simple, it's as easy as A, B, C, D. A, something to admit, I'm a sinner. B, something to believe, Jesus died for me. C, something to consider, the cost of trusting or not trusting the Lord Jesus. And don't forget, there's something to do. May the Lord bless his word to us. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow again to thank you for the opportunity to read from thy word. We do thank you for the message of thy love. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for providing a Saviour. We thank that he died upon the cross and shed his precious blood, that our sins might be forgiven. Help us to respond in our hearts to such love, to understand our need, and to come to the Lord Jesus and to ask him into our hearts and lives to be our Saviour, that we might experience and know the blessing of God's salvation and forgiveness. And so we ask a blessing upon thy word, and all who are gathered with us this evening, we commend each one to thee, and we ask a blessing as we part, and we ask you to take us each one home safely, and we give our thanks in the Saviour's name. Amen. Now we're just singing from a hymn as we close, I think. And it's 268. And we'll just sing verses 1 and 3. And it pulls together some of the things that we've been thinking about tonight, things to admit, and things that we need to believe. Verses 1 and 3. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Verse 3. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. We'll just remain seated and sing verses 1 and 3, after which our meeting is over. 268.